That's great and busy music for a great and busy time. You are in the right place if you want to hear about entertainment and the arts and culture in Columbus. Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. And it is a great week to be an arts lover in Central Ohio because Twisted 3 opened last night in the Ohio Theater. Twisted 3 is a collaboration between the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, Ballet Met, and Opera Columbus. And it's a little different this year if you've been Twisted before. This one is set up in such a way that each performing organization has their own act, if you will, and you really get to savor what our friends do on the stage of the Ohio Theater. And I am delighted to welcome to today's program the three arts leaders in this town. Sue Porter is an attorney, and she is the executive director of Ballet Met. Peggy Kriadai is a soprano and is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. And Rosin Milanov is the conductor and music director of the Columbus Symphony. That is one of his orchestras. None of you are, well, you look a little sleepy, and you should, because you've been up all night, but just thank you all for being here. Sue Porter, last night, the curtain went up, and it looked like the entire corps of Ballet Met was on stage, all in white, and Rosin Milanov was conducting the Columbus Symphony in the pit, and there was a perfect wedding of this gorgeous major key music and this visual. And first of all, when was the last time we got to see the entire company on the stage at once?
Well, certainly at different times we've had the company, but this was the company plus. We had our 26 professional dancers, our 6 Ballet Met 2 second company. And the amazing thing is that we also had 12 of our trainees on the stage. So there were 46 performers.
But they blended well. You couldn't tell, you know, who were the – I mean, they were all wonderful, right, is my point. The level was consistently high.
Well, the amazing work that our artistic director, Edward Liang, and our academy director, Maria Tareja, are doing with the company, I think, really came to light last night.
There may be people out there, and there may have been people last night in the theater who had never seen Ballet Met but may have seen the opera or the all kinds of different, maybe experiencing one or more of our performing entities for the first time. Peggy Cree and I, Adai and I, have history with the Twisted concept, but I would like you, please, to just clarify what it is, what people can expect with performances in the Ohio Theater through this weekend.
Well, Twisted this time is really a pretty spectacular sampler plate of the fine arts in Columbus. I mean, it's really unbelievable. It is so worth a ticket if you go to nothing else all season because you really get it all. We open with this, Ross, and I'm sure you'll talk about it, but this really unique and beautiful and funny production of Petrushka and with the symphony, and then in, I think the set comes in for the opera in 10 minutes. We even talked about, do we leave the screen open so people can see how crazy it is and how many stagehands.
Then nobody can curse, though. That's the problem. That's why at the Met they don't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a big theater. Maybe we get away with it. At any rate, so here comes a full set and costumes for Jenny Skeeky, and we're doing the entire opera. There's a couple abridged moments, but not even worth mentioning. I know, it was pretty seamless.
Seamless.
And then opera takes a bow, clear the stage, and it's this magnificent ballet. I was sitting next to Sue. I had tears running out of my eyes. It was amazing. It really was.
Nobody was crying at Johnny Skeeky. People were killing themselves laughing because it was so delightfully done.
Yeah, that was so great. We have a really fun director, came in from L.A., Josh Shaw, who I went and saw many, many Johnny Skeekies and looked at many online, and he is the one I just could not stop laughing at. So we brought
him in. It's now in the era of less Dante and more Fellini.
A little bit, yeah. But still 100% Italian.
Oh, but very Italian.
Yes.
Lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
I have to say last night that sitting through it, the audience loved it all. I mean, people were very, very positive. And I mean, I was catching the buzz and snooping, you know, people sitting around saying, I've never seen this before. This was really beautiful. I didn't know it could be funny. I didn't know it could be so beautiful, yada, yada, yada. Rosin Milanov, tell me about Petrushka, the Stravinsky ballet with which you begin the program. It's the only time in the evening that the orchestra can be seen by everybody, which I think is important.
Petrushka is one of those iconic works that really showcase the orchestra at its and the capacity of the soloist that we have here. It has something for everybody, and it's the hardest thing. It's an audition excerpt that they have to play all their lives if they have to get a job somewhere. So it's one of those works that it's really an instrumental theater, if I could invent that sort of a new genre, where perhaps you don't really need anything else because the music is already described, the gesture is described in the music itself. So when we decided to amplify slightly that aspect of the music, we turned to a concept that one of our friends and Doug Fitch, who was the director that came with the concept of this particular work, had already created for the New York Philharmonic and the London Symphony. Exactly the same production, and we decided that it would be something wonderful to do for that unusual collaboration, because normally when people come to our concerts, they see just a regular concert. So we thought, how about if we actually twist the things this time, since in the past twisted programs we were the least twisted component of it. So now we decided to go sort of in the realm of Twisted 1 and Twisted 2 on our own.
I don't want to give too much away because I want people to come in tonight and through the weekend and have that surprise experience that they're not going to be seeing what they may expect to be an orchestral concert to be. There's going to be a lot to look at and a lot to follow as you follow the music as well. Petrushka has quite a pedigree. It was staged by Nijinsky and written for Diaghilev, and Stravinsky, I think, was 25 when he wrote this. What has been your experience with the work before now?
This is one work that personally for me has an incredible significance, because somehow all the major artistic steps that I've had so far in my life had involved to a certain degree Petrushka.
Oh, you know, so.
When I, that was way, way, way back when I was beginning my career, I was conducting Petrushka with the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra, and at the time, the director of the University of Michigan, Ken Kissler, the orchestra, saw me conduct this piece and said, you know what, I just want to offer you a university position at Michigan based on what you did with this piece. Then later on, before getting my position with the Philadelphia Orchestra, that was the piece I had to do at the audition. And then when I started my tenure as the music director of the orchestra in Spain, in Asturias, this was the first CD we recorded, which was Petrushka. And now there we go again. Mm. So it's one of those pieces that has been a big part.
You mean like this? You know, some people may listen to that and think it's modern music and it's probably not very palatable, but I think a piece like that is ideal for someone who's never heard a symphony orchestra before, for a first-timer, because there's a lot of texture and there's a lot of opportunity for different parts of the orchestra to shine before you put them all together. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're absolutely right.
I know, but I just thought I'd ask anyway. Go ahead.
Yes, it is, because the piece was so modern for its time and it was modern because he was combining all these different musical layers that are on the top of each other that don't necessarily match. So you might be listening to a waltz on one part of the stage where the ballerina will dance, and then you might be listening to a march going on the other side. So you have these 2-4 and 3-4 kind of a pulsation on the top of each other that create a musical chaos in a way, but it's so beautifully matching and so well controlled of course, for you as an opera guy, it will bring to your mind the famous dinner scene from Don Giovanni, which Mozart does almost the same thing.
Dragged down to
hell,
right?
Exactly.
Yes.
But there's a lot of little tricks like that. Yeah. And the piece is just so vivid and so Russian at the same time. Because if you're Russian, you're going to recognize most of the tunes, particularly in the last tableau of the piece. You could just come along with text.
There is a bona fide story to this, but you'll get it without having to read anything really in advance. If you just go and experience the way the Columbus Symphony is presenting Stravinsky's Petrushka as it opens Twisted Three. There are performances tonight at 7:30.
Eight.
Okay.
Eight tonight.
Don't write that down. Tonight at 8.
Tomorrow at 8.
And
Sunday at 3.
All in the Ohio Theater.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to see Petrushka by Stravinsky, conducted by Rosen Milanov with the Columbus Symphony, Puccini's opera Gianni Schicchi from Opera Columbus, conducted by Catherine Kelly, and you're going to see Edward Liang's new ballet with the entire corps, conducted by Rosen Milanov with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. That's a lot for one ticket. I mean, that's a pretty good deal right there. Peggy Creodai, Gianni Schicchi is a comic opera by Puccini. 90 seconds or less. Give me the story.
Very wealthy Italian man is dying in his bedroom, surrounded by all his relatives. And the relatives are eager for him to pass because they are hoping to get all his money. And so he does. And then they find the will after an insane search and realize he gave it all to a monastery. They have a holy fit, try to find a solution. In comes Gianni Schicchi. And then I can't give away the ending.
Okay. He's sort of the local fixer. And he has a pretty daughter in love with one of the young men from the family. And we'll leave it at that.
That's right. There's beautiful singing with that love story.
A lot of romance, a lot of intrigue, a lot of horrible. Everybody has horrible relatives, so you're going to see a whole stage full of them. It's a lot of fun, and it is cast largely with people who live on the stage, at least with the singers. A lot of them live here in Columbus.
Yes, actually, almost all. Eric McKeever's lived here now he's all over the world. And he comes in to sing for Opera Columbus, which we're very grateful. And I have to say, I'm so proud of these singers. Like, I mean, what Columbus has to offer, to be able to cast a huge Italian show from Columbus and not compromise in any way. Like, these singers are phenomenal.
Marvelous diction from all of them, too. Wonderful Italian. Yeah. Irish boy from Boston, like I know. But seriously, I mean, they really had the style right there at their fingertips. Beautifully
they
done.
They really do. And if Italian isn't your thing, there is English surtitles above. So, you know, you get really used to it quickly, and it's not a frustrating experience if you don't speak Italian. So I hope that doesn't stop anyone.
We're going to take a quick break, and you're going to hear something going out that you're going to hear tonight in Gianni Schicchi.
I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown, and we are the hosts of Snollygoster, WOSU's podcast all about politics in Ohio.
Each week, we chat about what the shrewd politicians at the State House are up to and how national politics affects us here at home.
Find out why listeners have called us a weekly must-listen. For a lighthearted yet in-depth look at Ohio politics, subscribe to Snollygoster wherever you get your podcasts.
That's like a soprano national anthem. That is the hit tune from Puccini's little opera, Gianni Schicchi. Not so little. One-act comedy that is part of Twisted Three. You will see it tonight in the Ohio Theater and tomorrow and Sunday. As Twisted Three continues with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Rosen Milanov, Peggy Creodai has brought us Opera Columbus's production of Gianni Schicchi, conducted by Catherine Kelly. Is it Catherine or Kathleen or Kathy?
Kathy Kelly.
Kathy Kelly. And staged by Josh Shaw. And Ballet Metz bringing us Edward Liang's new ballet and Sue Porter. Edward's with the New York City Ballet as we speak, isn't he?
He was there last night, actually, opening a brand new work. So Edward had something this week opening in Houston, New York, and, of course, Columbus.
How do you keep him down on the farm? Well, that's But thank you, Sue Porter, for being here with us tonight. Tell me more about what's coming up in the season with Ballet Met. What do we have to look forward to?
There's a lot coming up. But, you know, I did want to say last night I met somebody in the audience and they said, how amazing that we got to see what's happening this season in the arts here. What more could you ask to see everybody on stage? So I think that's the beauty of the Twisted project. It really is appreciated by the audience. So I do hope people come to see it. Our next program is Be Moved, which is what we call a triple rep. There will be three short ballets. We're going to have Cacti by Alexander Ekman out of Europe. That's amazing because we will also have some live music on stage. There's a string quartet, and they intermix with the dancers on stage for part of that performance. We also have Ulysses Dove's Red Angels, which was created with a woman by the name of Mary Rowell, and she has an electric violin, and she is an integral part on stage of that performance. And then we'll have a brand new work by Annabel Lopez Ochoa, one of the hottest female choreographers in the world right now, and she's going to come and create new work on our dancers, so it'll be a world premiere. And that opens October 25th. And we'll run for 2 weeks.
But I understand we saw a world premiere last night with Tributary, Edward's new
you
ballet,
did.
Fortress to
right.
Three.
Edward created that as a...
How? I have to ask you that.
I don't know. You're asking
me. You were
me.
Probably in your office raising the money and doing everything right. else except dance, but you may have...
I can't do that.
You probably came downstairs once in a while to look in and say, how is he doing this?
Well, I think there's a couple of interesting things. First, as Edward will always say, it does start with the music. So he'd heard the music, and we can't thank Rawson and the symphony enough for making it possible for us to be able to play that particular piece, and the music is amazing. But to see him work with 46 dancers, Edward has never choreographed anything on that many dancers who are going to be on stage at one time. But his thought process and the movement and the intricate patterns that it creates were just beautiful. And of course, the amazing thing was we were measuring in our studios because the tutus are classical tutus, and they're so big that there was not another dancer who was going to fit on stage, and they had to move very precisely or the tutus don't fit, which I just think is an interesting thing in Columbus.
Something you never think of unless you're in the business. I mean, that of course, you have to – don't crush your tutu. That's
no,
a bad thing, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, that's a bumper sticker if I ever saw one. But anyway, yeah.
So it's amazing. He's an amazing creative person. We feel so lucky that he's chosen to make his home in Columbus. And, well, he does do work. This is his home base. And even when he's been out, he comes here and he says, I'm so glad to be home. And he's on a flight right now, so he'll be there tonight.
It was wonderful to see last night, and it was wonderful to hear the orchestra with the ballet, and it was wonderful to hear the Sibelius Valse Triste and the etudes that Edward selected to put this together. I know that it's a challenge getting live music with ballet. That's true for any company, really, in the world. But to have that collaboration as part of Twisted Three, I think, is one of the reasons why everybody should show up in the Ohio Theater tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and...
3 o'clock,
okay. And you can go on any one of your websites. Kappa.com will give you the whole rundown. You can
right. And it is a celebration of the 50th anniversary of Kappa, so we were all happy, I think, to participate in that.
I should mention that, yes, Kappa, that's hard to believe. It's 50 years that Kappa's been in business, that they saved the Ohio Theater from the wrecking ball, and the rest is history, and they just seem to be flourishing with all the theaters downtown. Peggy Criadi, I want to talk to you because you're not only doing you're doing one of my favorite operas. You're doing the Monteverdi Poppea because he's my favorite composer. But you're doing them in non-traditional settings, which are really intriguing. And I think it's very exciting what you've got planned. Talk a bit about what's coming up in the next few months with Opera Columbus.
Sure. The next production that we're doing is called As One. It's one of the most produced operas in North America in the last 5 years. And so the opera is a story of Hannah. She's a transgender woman, and it's a very clever and it's just so beautiful. It's funny also story about her coming, becoming one with herself and the people around her. And Carpe Diem String Quartet will be playing that for us. It involves film and two singers. It's beautiful. And we really wanted to... You know, this opera is, because of the topic kind of gets dubbed sometimes, this is the transgender opera, which of course it's not. It's the story of Hannah, and it's relatable to anybody that's had to make peace with who they are. However, it's a story that needs to be told. And we have commissioned, we're co-executive producers with Kappa, and have commissioned a short film. Filmmaker is Saria Miller. And it's about a 30-minute film, and it highlights the transgender community in Columbus. So she interviews about six people from Columbus, and it's beautiful storytelling. So we'll be showing that film. We have a show Friday and Sunday, and on that Saturday, we're bringing in the creative team and Ashton Colby, who has been a consultant for us and trained our staff, trained our board, trained our ticket office, so that we are really serving this community in the right way.
Who is the composer?
Is Laura Kaminsky is the composer, and Mark Campbell and Kimberly Reed are the co-librettists, and Kimberly, it's her story, and she's also the filmmaker.
And when did this opera premiere? How long has it been
it's
around?
It's been about 5 years. It has, and it just took off. I mean, Laura is such an incredible composer, and she's so sensitive. She refuses to write stories about women that are degraded in any way. So she's very socially conscious in her work, and she's a fabulous person.
I just got a press release from somebody about a discussion group that Opera Columbus is doing later on socially important topics. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the release and thought there's very little about music. And then I thought, wait a minute, they're using music to inform social problems or issues and vice versa.
That's right.
Could you talk about that event a little
right.
bit?
Right. So we're having a luncheon. We did it a couple years ago to highlight women leadership in the arts. And this time it's under the title of Opera Columbus Asks. And the luncheon is Opera Columbus Asks, how can the arts make Columbus a more inclusive community? And we're bringing in community leaders. And we have Frederick at COSI, who's going to be our moderator, and someone from OSU and the King Lincoln District and the theater there. And the Lincoln Theater, and it's going to be a powerful time. And I can't say what's going to come out of it, but we're going to ask the question and we're going to start the conversation.
Is it open to the public?
It is. Please come.
When is it?
It is, I want to say, October 28th, maybe. Can we go back to that date?
I will. We'll go back to that date. We'll look it up. We'll get it to you. And call me up on the phone if you want to know, because I have the press release on my desk that I got a few weeks ago. So that's great, too. Basically, you're using the arts to communicate and to sort of reflect society.
Right. So the mission of our company is to have an impact outside of the theater as well. And I think that's really important, and I think it's a responsibility that we feel we have.
And the world is set up for that right now, so
it's needed.
May you live in interesting times. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. At Russell Milanov, I want to talk about, of course, the Columbus Symphony and what you have planned going on. This was in a way, I guess, opening night, but then your season really starts in a few weeks. And I know you're doing Porgy and Bess at one point, and you have some new work bringing in, et cetera. What's going on?
You're right. The official opening of the season is going to happen 2 weeks from now. And for that, we have programmed an American festival, which is going to feature two works that directly relate to the African-American history. And the second one, which you mentioned, is, of course, Porgy and Bess. No need to explain why this piece is so popular and has become such an important part of the mass culture. We are going to be doing an extended version of it, which will include also the Columbus Symphony Chorus. And the other piece, which is going to be performed only for a second time in this country, the premiere was done in Carnegie Hall 2 years ago, is a new oratorio called Sanctuary Road, which takes its inspiration from records being taken from the Underground Railroad when the slaves were trying to escape the slavery from the southern states and move to the north and to the Canada. which, of course, Columbus was a very important stop on that railroad. So that story is being told by pretty much the same librettist that Peggy mentioned for S1, Mark Campbell. He wrote the libretto for that oratorio, and Paul Moravec, a famous composer, particularly writing for voices, the person that set the text to music. We're going to have five African-American singers of national and international importance that are going to be covering all the parts in both works. And we are going to also collaborate with the Columbus Museum of Art in our very popular Mozart to Matisse series, when chamber music that directly relates to the ideas of the music of the American Festival is going to be paired up with a lecture highlighting some of the African-American artists that are part of the collection of the museum. So a lot of points of discussion as well, a lot of opportunities for us to reflect on something that was part of our history, but make it emotionally relevant, because this is what the music does. It presents a historic event, but through the eyes of a person that has experienced it. Because these five singers, they are going to be telling their own story as part of their journey on the Underground Railroad.
When you plan a season, when you decide what music you are going to perform with the Columbus Symphony, what do you take into account that may be germane to Columbus, or does that matter?
It does matter, of course, because for all of us here, and I could hear it in the interesting projects that my friends and colleagues just talked about, we are connected to the city, and we are trying to find the importance of the city both historically, both in how this history was reflected in an artistic event that have been created, and how do we go from here in the future, and how do we reflect the incredible diversity that we have here, so we don't become a museum that features only one particular point of view of a few artists, but we become institutions that people could see themselves, both on stage and as part of what is being presented.
Because in my experience, the ballet has always done new work. I mean, the ballet and the theater, they live for new work. But in the concert hall and the opera house, until recently, that was unusual. You have made it less unusual now. Peggy, you had a huge hit last spring with an opera you created called The Flood, which was all about Columbus. Tell me about that process. Remind people what The Flood was, because I thought it was extraordinary.
Right. So the flood of 1913, huge event that affected all of Columbus and especially Franklinton and the Bottoms and that area of the city. And we commissioned an opera with Per Musica Chamber Orchestra together to tell the story, and not only the story of that time and the tragedy of that time, but how it affected generations of the people that live in Columbus, four different generations. So yeah, it was very powerful. It was
Corina
wonderful.
Corina Fujiwara did the music. Yeah.
That's correct. And she'll be playing in the AS1, in the Carpe Diem. And Stephen Wadsworth was the librettist.
He
on
was
that show.
And staged it, right.
That's right.
That was a huge hit for you.
It was.
People came to hear something that they didn't know they were going to like.
You know, it's interesting, like you're saying, new work used to be like the scary thing to produce. That was record ticket sales for us on that show. We had to add a performance.
I believe it.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. I hope it has a life after Columbus. I'm sure it
does.
Will.
So I'm in conversations with a couple of companies actually around the Midwest, because I feel like it's their story too. And so, I'm excited to see it have a life.
I remember my wife's grandmother was a little girl during that flood, and she grew up hearing all about it, like firsthand, so that when she came with me to see it. I mean, she got it. She was connected immediately to what was going on, and that when they were mentioning addresses and neighborhoods, she said, "Oh my God, yes, I know exactly where they're talking about." So it was very timely for that and very powerful. So you're also going to be in the Pizzuti collection. What's that about? I love that.
Well, we do a Barber Seville at Valentine's Day, which is going to be crazy fun, but then then we end our season with Popeye. It's called the Popeye Project. It was what we called it, and it stuck. It's based off – the idea came from Sleep No More, which is a off-Broadway show in New York. And I went to that show and spent the next day just – as everyone did who has seen that, how can we translate that into our art form? And it's a traveling, adventurous opera. Anne Pizzuti and I had been talking about it for years. They're very generous to do this with us. It is a co-production with the museum. So it's not just us singing in a museum. The art is being curated for the drama, and the drama will complement the art. Fashion Week Columbus is dressing the show, and Ballet Met is performing in that show. Ballet Met, too, and Edward will be the choreographer there.
But you're in a museum of modern art.
That's true.
With an opera that's one of the oldest in the repertoire.
I love
which I
doing
love,
that.
Which is great. Yeah,
yes.
You do love doing that, and it always works. So, yeah.
I think early music is the best way to do that because it's not taking a Madame Butterfly or Bohème and, you know, ruffling feathers.
They don't need that, right? Yeah.
But, to make it – the story is – I mean, people die. There's sex. There's drama. There's
– Everybody's horrible.
Everybody's horrible.
They're the most the worst people you ever met. It's great. Yeah.
And they sing so beautifully. Yes. So the opera is happening. It's a it's a 3.5-hour opera happening in 1 hour. Takes place as an orchestra on each level of the Pizzuti collection. And the characters, it's timed out perfectly to where the characters will finish a scene and then wander to another gallery so that they're always interacting with the audience that is walking through the museum as if they would any other curated piece at the Pizzuti collection or show at the collection. So you get to have drinks ahead of time, which I highly suggest. And then you grab a mask. The audience is masked. And that gives a little bit of safety space for everybody.
Venice, yes.
And,
And
they wander around and they get to witness the opera in a very unique way.
Masked, and I'll wear a big mask when I come for that one. That's more from Opera Columbus. We are going to talk more with our arts leaders. Our number is 614-292-8513 if you want to get in the conversation, but we're kind of having a good time. But if you'd like to join us again, 614-292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. When you come to the Ohio Theater this weekend, you will hear this music and choreography by Edward Liang from Tributary and Ballet Met. This is the Valse Triste as we take a break. And we have quite the dream team here for this last segment of All Sides Weekend today. The arts, I'm Christopher Purdy. Sue Porter is the executive director of Ballet Met. Peggy Kriadai is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. And Russin Milanov is the music director of the Columbus Symphony. Put them all together and you get Twisted 3, which is running this through the weekend in the Ohio Theater, performances tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. If you want it for a real good time, go to the Ohio Theater and see and hear the Columbus Symphony, Opera Columbus, and Ballet Met in one evening. It will whet your appetite to experience these companies separate and together throughout their seasons. You can get all the information you need. I'll just send them to Kappa. Kappa.com has all the ticket information and everything you need to know. Just show up and tell them I sent you. They'll treat you right. We have music by Stravinsky, Petrushka, with a wonderful visual component with the Columbus Symphony conducted by Russin Milanov. We have Puccini's comic opera, Gianni Schicchi, where the person is already dead when the thing starts, but nobody else dies in the show. Funny, vicious, and a lot of fun. And we have Tributary, Edward Liang's new ballet for Ballet Met, with the entire corps on stage and more. Core Plus, Stunning in White. Edward Liang, of course, is the artistic director of Ballet Met. He is the artistic soul of Ballet Met, and I think it's fair to say of dance in our region. And at this moment, he's on his way back from working with the New York City Ballet, thank you very much, which is only one of his pit stops. He's kind of a busy guy there. Peggy, I wanted you to just, you glossed over the Barber of Seville a little bit, but people will know that and look forward to that as well. And I think you have another take on that, too. It's Valentine's Day, right?
It's Valentine's Day. I was so happy to get that date because this is great. It's a nice romantic comedy. The director, Mary Birnbaum, created a very clever, very funny English translation.
Oh, good.
So
good.
That's going to be great. We're bringing in some of our partners at the Juilliard School, the program that we have a formal collaboration with, bring some of those artists out, and then some from Columbus as well. And there's everything from a glitter beard contest, an intermission, to actors coming off stage. You can buy a special box seat and they'll serve you dinner during the show. Berta will do that for us on stage. And neon colors. It's really fun. It takes place in Florida in the 90s, and it is outrageous.
A lot of turquoise and orange and things like that.
Yes, neon colors. Yes. And there's also a little surprise with the T-shirt cannon. So if you're lucky, you'll get an Opera Columbus T-shirt.
So really, if you want to have fun, go to Opera Columbus. I know that might be of news to some people, but trust me, you'll always have a wonderful time, and you'll always leave lighter than you were when you came in with one of Opera Columbus, even if it's the flood, which is not, let's say, a happy story. Mm-hmm. But you have Monteverdi's Poppea project, which is nothing but horrible people being horrible to each other.
It'll look beautiful,
great,
too.
It'll look beautiful. and the Barber of Seville as well. And the new opera, which is called?
As One.
As One.
Yes. And I wanted to mention, you had talked about the luncheon, that something else that we're starting to do is there'll be a portion of the proceeds for that luncheon that will go to Kaleidoscope, which is an incredible organization
yes.
in town that serves LGBTQ teens.
Right. For some of them, it's the only home they have.
That's right. Yeah, you can always get a meal there. You can do your homework. There's counseling, whatever they might need. It's a very special place.
And your community discussion is on October 28th at 11:30 at the Kitchen.
That's right.
On Livingston Avenue, the luncheon, 11:30 to 1, where you're going to be talking about socially important topics tied in with Opera Columbus.
That's right. And the city.
And that's open to the public.
It is.
Right? Okay.
October 28th.
Now, Rustin Milanov, you talked about programs coming up with the new work and with Porgy and Bess. What else you got for us? Give me some highlights.
Of course,
sell me some tickets. Come on.
Of course, we're going to have our very, very popular Russian Winter Festival, and we have Natasha Poremsky.
She's coming, back.
She's coming back.
If you haven't seen this girl or heard this girl, you get your tickets now because she's going to sell it out. She's hot.
Yes. She's playing Rachmaninoff again, so that will be exciting. Then we have one of the most exciting organ players in the world that is going to showcase the organ of the Ohio Theater. Mm. That is one of the most famous organs, I think, in the Midwest. His name is Cameron Carpenter.
Yes, he is very famous. Yeah.
And if you stay after the concert, he's going to be improvising on this organ like freely. So
you could
even like give him a theme, and then he could create a composition right there for you on the spot. So. And then the production that we are really looking forward to is what we call a Chihuly Festival, which we are doing together with the conservatory here in town, which is one of the spaces that owns a large percentage of Chihuly art. And Chihuly was a glass artist, and I'm sure that if you see one of his glass sculptures, you would recognize it.
You'd
right
know,
away.
Right.
So we are going to transform the stage of the Ohio Theater into a Chihuly art gallery with sets specifically created for Bartok's one-act opera, Bluebird's Castle. And we have two singers, both Metropolitan Opera artists that are going to be singing the roles of Judith and the Bluebeard person himself. And as they open the doors into their subconsciousness or their past, a new sculpture created by Chihuly would be unveiled on stage. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a chance to to sort of see the orchestra on stage, but you're going to get the opera with that additional component of sets created in a very unusual way and very, very beautiful to look at. So we are very much looking forward to that. And of course, let's not forget that 2020 is a very important year for the entire musical community because we celebrate 250 years of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, perhaps one of the most important composers. And we are going to be reflecting a lot on his music, various conversations and other events that that giant figure of humanity deserves. And the final concert of the season is, of course, going to be his monumental Ninth Symphony.
That's everybody and their mother on the stage for that, the huge chorus.
Yes.
Let's not forget to mention the Columbus Symphony Chorus, the all-volunteer chorus conducted by Ronald Jenkins. Holiday Pops is always very popular as well. I assume
Absolutely.
They'll be coming back
yes.
as well. So there's a lot to do downtown. Do you guys compete and fight with each other about dates and things like that for theaters? Well, you're in the Rice Center a lot, so that might be make your life a little easier. I don't know.
Well,
and Nutcracker, you collaborate too, don't you?
We do collaborate. I would say that, you know, looking for theater space is a complicated opportunity and challenge. For dance, sometimes the work that we bring in can only fit on the Ohio, though we do love the Davidson for a more intimate performance. But Edward's doing another world premiere this year, and that is Alice, and we'll be in the Ohio, and we're very, very excited about it, again, during the Valentine's week. So that, you know, we're looking at this season as a season of world premieres. Edward has Tributary, Annabelle Lopez Ochoa in our Be Moved in the fall, The Alice, which, again, will be a full-length work by Edward. And then we're going to close the season with New Voices, which is four of our professional dancers who are going to be creating new work. They live in Columbus. They work in Columbus. And we're really happy that we can provide them the opportunity to take another part in their career.
But you're good about that. You've done that before. Ballet Met has showcased dancers who are transitioning to choreography or adding that to their quiver, if you will.
It's been a little while, so we're really excited that it's going to happen again this season.
That's terrific. You can see the entire Ballet Met company and their students, and it's pretty seamless, tonight in the Ohio Theater, dancing Tributary, Edward Liang's new ballet, conducted by Russin Milanov with the Columbus Symphony. The symphony sounds stunning, by the way. They sound absolutely beautiful with Stravinsky at the beginning and then the Puccini.
I'm very proud of my musicians.
They sound out of this world. If you haven't heard them live in the theater, you need to go and hear them live in the theater as well. And Peggy Kriadai, as I want to reiterate that you have cast Johnny Skeeky with young singers, most of whom, I think all of them live here. Eric, one or two commute, but
right.
He has roots here, certainly.
Yes.
He was here too. And there is one young man, I don't know if I should say the name, maybe I'll let you say the name, but he's very tall. And he's a very big guy, and he plays the notary.
Uh-huh.
And this young man is going to be a star.
He is.
I don't care. He's a very young man.
He's a gentle giant.
He is going to be a star someday. And you know what? You have to go. You need to go buy a ticket if you want to know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Because he's somebody to watch.
And he's got such a small part. And you walk away going, who was that
guy? Who was that?
Yeah. He's in his 20s. Goes to Capitol, Christopher.
You said his first name. You can say his whole name. It's up to you.
You have to come see the program.
Okay.
Anyway.
Christopher Humbert is his name.
Yes. And they were all at my house for a party. I had the whole cast and board, everyone at my house. And I always make the cast put their height on my wall, and I have just a clutter of people. And then there's Christopher, and he's
very big. Yeah, he's a tall man. He's a tall young man.
Yeah.
We've kept Charlie waiting. I just want Charlie, who called in. Hi, Charlie. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Actually, it's so interesting. I do. You know, my main point is, if you're listening, you ought to go see this. All three things are very beautiful. But just quickly, I was, you know, my wife and I arrived at the ticket office, and Christopher was there talking to one of his friends. And I remember thinking, like, he was saying, he's like, oh, my report time is 8:30 for this show, blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow, this guy's voice is incredibly beautiful. I hope he's in the opera. And of course he was. This is the guy who played the notary. And I was like, when he came on stage, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is going to be a star. Very interesting. So I wanted to say the Petrushka, I'm a fan. I played the trumpet in the Ohio State marching band for many years when I was in college.
Great.
And oh my gosh, the trumpet in Petrushka is really featured very prominently, and it's incredible. But that's not really the important part. It's just so fun and so different to come see the symphony, and they're all wearing like kind of interesting clothing and doing fun stuff. And
don't give it away.
Blast.
Yes.
They're having a blast on stage.
They were.
It is so worth it to go. It is not like the stodgy kind of going to see the symphony that you're used to. And obviously the I won't even talk about the very short opera in the middle, which is such an accessible opera, I think, and especially because they put the, you know, they put the Italian translations on the screen so you can see what's going on. And then the ballet is just like, if you have a small daughter or a son or someone who's interested in the ballet, this is just so classic. All in white, tutus, the whole thing, beautiful dancing, tons of jumps by the men. Absolutely such a great night. I think it's the second best live performance I've ever seen. I'm still blown away. I'd like to go back. So it's very much worth it. Definitely go. And I'm just a guy calling in. You don't have to.
Charlie, that's great, Charlie. And I'll tell you where the stage door is. You can walk in this weekend. But thank you so much for your call. And I'm delighted you enjoyed it as much as I did and everybody else that I snooped around with in the audience last night did. Let's be clear. Robert Kerr is Johnny Skeeky, and he's one of my favorites. And I know, Peggy, he's one of yours because you've used him a lot. He's a wonderful young artist. And John David Nevergall was in it. And the Loretto, everybody fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
The
Omi Willis.
Everybody fell in love with her.
Yes.
And it was a wonderful piece. If you want to fall in love and get a little energized by the Petrushka performance as well in the visual part, then you want to be at the Ohio Theater this weekend for Twisted 3. I read that this was a brainchild of Chad Whittington's, the current production. Maybe he says that and maybe he's not right, but that's what it says. Chad is the president and CEO of Kappa. Kappa is the organization that makes so much of the performing arts possible or easier in Central Ohio, and a wonderful organization. Hello, Chad. Great to see you on stage last night. I thought Chad would play the bear in Petrushka, but I guess he was busy. I don't know if he didn't. Well, there's a thought, right? Sue Porter's going, oh, write that one down. That's great. But anyway, last thoughts. I want to sell some tickets for the current season for Ballet Met, for Opera Columbus, and for the Columbus Symphony. Peggy Criadai, you're going to be in the Pizzuti Collection. Where's the Barbara Seville being performed?
Southern Theater.
In the Southern Theater as well. Now, go back a little bit. The opera's set in Seville around 1750, but not anymore. Now we're in Miami Beach. Yes, yes.
Yes, so it's really a lot of fun. It's a laugh out loud show.
Unexpected. That's what people think they know about it, yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And the Poppea, the Coronation of Poppea, is when is that? In the spring?
It's later? In April, 22 to 26.
And that's in the Pizzuti Collection.
And all tickets are $30.
Wow.
So very accessible there, too.
That's great for
date. You got to buy your own drink. But
still, that's pretty good for date night, though.
It's only an hour, so you can catch dinner in the short north.
I think you'll get a lot of date night traffic for that.
I really hope so.
Good for you. Good thoughts there with Opera Columbus. Sue Porter, say hi to Edward Liang for us, as he's probably plane bound right now.
Edward, we can't wait for you to get back.
Wherever you are. Will he be around? Will he be able to see anything? Is he coming back to Columbus?
Oh, he's on a plane right now.
So he'll be able to see the show tonight.
Yeah, he'll be there tonight and the rest of the weekend.
And he'll be there to take a bow, I hope, and acknowledge the wonderful company and the beautiful sets and costumes there.
Right. Well, if you know Edward at all, he's an incredibly humble person. So I don't know that
he actually is a very he is a very humble person.
But he will certainly be there and is really excited.
What are the age of the students in your schools? How do what age do they begin?
We begin at as early as 4 years old. We like to say we go from 4 to 85 in our students and in our academy. So there, we have about 1,600 students that
touch in one building. How do you do that?
Well, it's a variety of things: classes during the day, classes in the evening, on the weekends, and of course, our summer programs are incredibly popular. We bring people from around the country to come into Columbus and spend from 1 to 6 weeks with us.
That's ballet, Met. You know, everything I've learned about ballet, I've learned from you. I've learned from you and Edward and the company. And that started with Twisted One, which was, when was that, 2011?
6 years ago.
That's when I fell in love with ballet, Met, and I've been living here for years, so I was late to the bus. But I'm so glad that I got caught up and loved that so much. And Rustin Milinov, I've been friends with the Columbus Symphony for 30 years, and I will be for 30 more years if God is good to me. Thank you for all you do. You have the American Festival Porgy and Bess and the New Oratorio in 2 weeks in the Ohio Theater. Everybody has a website. Everybody can give you more information. For tickets and more information on this weekend, Twisted 3, for a good time, call Christopher, but go to kappa.com. They can give you everything you need to know and give you tickets. And I thank Kyle McKinnon, our producer. I thank Rustin Milinov, the music director of the Columbus Symphony, Sue Porter, the general manager, executive director of Ballet Met, and Peggy Kriadai, artistic director of Opera Columbus. Go take a nap, all three of you. See you tonight. Thank you.